Hey everybody, this is Jack Vale, and you are listening to The Jose Show. My favorite guy named Jose.
Are you ready? 3, 2, 1.
This is The Jose Show.
And welcome to another exciting episode of The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr., and today we have a very special guest, and this special guest, he may disappear on us, I don't know, but I'd like to introduce to you Henry Rivera. He is a magician from Lutz, Florida. Henry, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, thank you. Pleasure to be on today.
Good. I'm glad you're on. How I found you, I'm trying to remember how I found you. Obviously, Facebook, I don't know, it's just weird. Sometimes things pop up, and, I'm nosing, I look at it, and then I happen to see you on there, and then next thing you know, I contacted you, and here we are, it's a small world, and like I was telling you earlier, I just like to have people on my show that probably normally wouldn't be on a show, and that way it kind of gets, the stuff that you do out there as a magician, and, you can do parties and children's parties and adult parties and whatever. And that's basically the premise of the Jose Show, is to just have unique people, because that's what I look at it as, unique people, all walks of life. And, everybody does something different, but everybody doesn't know what everybody else does. So this is kind of informational to show people, well, obviously, so they can listen and hear what you do. So it's exciting to have you on the show, and I know this is your first podcast. This is my first podcast with you, so that's pretty cool. And obviously, you're a magician, and so try not to disappear on us, because
no, I try not to.
If that happens, then
I'll have to send you a bill.
It's gonna sound like this. If you disappear, it's gonna be okay, crickets. You like that? So anyway, so now, give me some history. Like, growing up, were you one of those kids that liked to see magicians and do magic tricks and stuff like that?
So, actually, not really. I grew up in New York City in Brooklyn, and I was going through a rough time. I had my mom and dad were just, kind of divorced each other.
Uh-huh.
And so we were just going through a rough time, my mom trying to live in New York City, a single mom with three kids, So what I ended up doing is I found an outlet for all the stress, I guess, or the anger I had with everything going on. And magic was the outlet, and it kept me, I never was that social bug anyway. I never got really, get together and meet friends. That never was me. So when I started learning magic, it actually opened up the doors to meet new people and new friends. So it kind of kept me from not getting beat up and bullied in school. They were like, oh, that's the magic guy. And I'll show them a trick and nobody will bother me. So that was my way of kind of keeping myself to safe and kind of focused on something. Because if not, I mean, God knows where I would have been, could have gotten in trouble. Could have found, gangs or whatever. I could have joined it, and led that life. So this kind of led me to a different life of the entertainment world. And I'm thankful for it,
So that's pretty cool. So basically, when you were doing the magic, if that didn't work, you could always run and disappear, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was already in most people's faces. I was.
I had to add, I love these sound effects. I had to add that. But wow, that's pretty interesting. Now, obviously, I've never been to Brooklyn. Now, is Brooklyn a pretty bad place? Like, is it high crime there, or?
I mean, New York City is New York City. It's the school of hard knocks, that's for sure. Growing up, I didn't live in the greatest neighborhood, but it wasn't the baddest neighborhood. So I was okay. I could walk in the streets without any issues. Of course, you got to be smart, use your brain and street smart, but it wasn't that bad. I love New York City. It's a love for New York that I would never lose. Living in Florida, it's a whole different lifestyle,
It
kept me more aware of a lot of stuff. As a magician growing up, I was practicing and trying to develop social skills. So like, even if somebody came up to me and I knew they were trying to cause trouble, I kind of learned how to avoid situations by using misdirection and, you know, magic techniques to kind of get me out of this situation. So that was thankful. You know, I met a lot of undercover cops that when they pulled me over and they checked my pockets, they found a lot of weird stuff.
So definitely you heard this. Yeah, what's that in your pocket? Why is there a bobby pin and a a white and black knife and all that stuff? Because I saw one of your videos.
Wow. Yeah, decks of cards and coins and
Oh my god. I can imagine weird. I can imagine being a cop pulling you over and seeing all, you know, like you're pulling all this stuff. Oh wait, there's a rabbit that just came out of the hat just and the scarf. Like my license is in here somewhere, you know, and the guy's like, "All right, guy, we're going to haul you in." But now I don't know up in that area. I think you're in Newport Richey. I don't know was it Newport Richey? They had a magic shop where they had all kinds of magic shop stuff in the magic shop. Now, have you ever been into stores like that where you got all kinds of different tricks to buy?
Yeah, so in New York City, there was a magic shop that I was – there was a lot of magic shops in New York, but there was one that I went to all the time. It was the Queens – it was next to Queens Center Mall. It was called Rove Magic and Fun Shop. That's kind of where I got my stepping stone in the professional world and learned more professional magic, because before that, it was just me going to the public library. You know, my mom couldn't really afford to buy me fancy tricks, so I had to go to the public library and read books. So I was kind of self-taught with my magic. So I was reading books, old Harry Houdini books, old Durston books, whatever books they had on magic, that's what I was learning my magic from. And then I found the shop in Queens over there, the Rogue Magic and Fun Shop, and that kind of just opened the door to a whole new beginning. And then at that time, the online magic shops were just starting out. So we had YouTube at that time, but it wasn't what we had now. You know, YouTube now, you're making billionaires out of YouTube. Back then it was like, you know, people were just uploading videos of their families, like, you know, like the family picnic and stuff like that.
Them guys are making billions and I've only made $300. And that was, gosh, like 5 or 6 years ago. So definitely, I am not a billionaire, but that's pretty cool. Now, I didn't realize, you know, I mean, with the internet, obviously, they're going to have online stores. Now, did you develop some of your own magic tricks yourself, like by reading and watching videos that say, I'm going to alter this a little bit and it's going to be kind of my own?
So that's a weird question. It's hard in magic. So like there's magicians that focus on creating brand new magic tricks that have never been seen before. And then there's magicians that take tricks that are already put out by other magicians and they just they use their own taste, their own style into the same routine. So it's the same, like you could take A and B magician, they'll probably be doing the same tricks, but the presentation for A and B magician are different. I definitely fall under that category. My magic is different. I'm very old school. I have a lot of old school magic tricks that not many people see anymore. And then I try to use that because that's, you know, not many magicians are looking back in the old books and saying, oh, well, this was there. So I like to look in those old books and bring them back out and perform it the way it was written back in the days, but give it that new flavor and new style approach to it, which makes it look like it's something brand new and nobody's ever seen.
So basically you're not like David Copperfield and making the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Yeah, no, I can't afford that.
I know, right? Yeah, how much is it going to cost for me to make it disappear? Oh, only $1 million, you know?
Yeah.
Now, that's cool, though. I've always been amazed, you know. I know it's kind of sleight of hand, and it's like you want us to watch this one hand when the other hand's actually, you know, but it's just, even as an adult, I'm still amazed at how you guys do this stuff because, you know, obviously you can't divulge your secret because then I would tell this person and that person would tell that person and then, you know, your trick is out and they know how you do it. But, you know, sometimes I'm like a kid because I'm just amazed. I'm like, my God, how did this guy do this? Or like, how do they saw people in half and stick swords in it and stuff like that? So that's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah. My favorite style of magic is the stage magic. So going on that Copperfield level.
Yeah.
I do close-up magic as well, but my main specialty lines in the parlor and stage style magic. So it definitely interests me, and you could definitely build an emotion with those type of stuff.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, are you a member of the Society of American Magicians?
No, I can't afford it every month. So
oh, you actually, gotta pay to join this thing?
Yeah, I think there's it's a membership. You pay once a year or once a month or something like that, and you're good for whatever. I think it's yearly.
Okay.
I was part of it for like maybe when I first started out magic, and then after a while I kind of just was like, I need to start saving money here and here and here and here and kind of put more money into the show. It's a great society, and there's a lot of people in it, and it offers a lot of benefits, and you know, you get a little more respect when you're in it, and people are like, are you part of it? And you're like, yeah, I am. And they're like, oh wow, that's cool. I just, you know, never really joined the societies, and just not my thing.
You'd be like one of the cool kids. I know, from what I read, Harry Houdini actually, I guess started the society. So
was one of the presidents. Yeah, he definitely was. It's pretty cool. His gravesite, he has like a big mural, big thing. And they have like in the middle, a big Society of American Magicians circle. And it's pretty cool to look at.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I know back in the day, I haven't really watched many magic shows here lately. I just don't have time anymore, but I used to watch David Copperfield a few times. I would love to attend a magic show. I don't care who it is. It's just, you know, life is short, and you know, sometimes you just need to have a little bit of enjoyment and watching somebody do magic. It kind of takes your mind off of things, and you know, I'm glad that somebody like you, you know, takes the time to perform this in front of people, because I know it's because I was watching one of your videos. Not only are you a magician, but you're kind of like a comedian, because you throw in some the way you talk. So you're talking and trying to do the sleight of hand. I would get confused. Do you ever get confused doing that?
Yes, many times. I actually, sometimes during the show, I'll perform and I'll forget where I'm at. And then I'll say, wait, hold on. And then I'll remember the joke that I was supposed to use. And then the joke would kind of get me back on track. And I'm like, there we go. And everyone just laughs at the situation. But yeah, sometimes during a show, there's so much to remember, especially when you're putting on a production show.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of, my main gigs are like, families and fairs and birthday parties. So bringing the stuff to the shows and kind of making sure everything works right is a big, distraction. So I got to make sure everything's working right to make the show even better, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I can understand that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio.
Hey, landscape pros. Are you tired of digging through rocks and roots and breaking shovels in the process? Then it's time you checked out the Geo Ripper 616. It's a landscaper's dream. With the Makita 6 Series 2-cycle engine producing over 4 horsepower of raw performance, the 616 digs deep in up to 16 inches of the toughest soils. Lighting, landscape, and irrigation contractors already love this improved lightweight trencher with its ability to get in and get out faster, easier, and with less ground disturbance. And you will too. This redesigned Geo Ripper 616 comes with 2 heavy-duty digging chains and a whole mess of helpful extras. To learn more about the Geo Ripper and how it can help you out in the field, visit georipper.com today.
And welcome back to the Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr., and we're speaking with magician Henry Rivera. And boy, that's a long commercial. That's a Geo Ripper. Dude, that thing is, I've said it so many times on these shows, it's like a chainsaw for the ground. I mean, it rips right through those roots and all that stuff and digs a trench. That thing is pretty cool. I need one of those. I don't know what I'd do with it, but so. All right, so I have a question for you. Now, I don't know all the magicians, but who is your favorite magician?
There's so many magicians. See, the thing about magic is there's different categories. There's like a stage magician, there's a close-up magician, there's a parlor magician. So I have a lot of respect. I theme my show. There was an old magician named Harry Anderson. He was on Cheers. the magician on Cheers, the con man that was
on Night Court. He was in Night Court too.
And Night Court, yes.
Yeah, he was the judge. Okay.
Yes, I love that guy. His character, his tricks he did, everything about him was just, he was just a pure, in my eyes, a pure magician. He had the look, the tricks, the comedy, everything just worked for who he was. And that to me, that's one of my favorite magicians. And I love reading his books and watching his videos. I could watch him all day.
Well, I never thought of that. I mean, I know I've seen him do some of those in the shows on Cheers because, you know, growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch Cheers because of grown guys in a bar drinking beer. And, you know, I understand that because I'm from a Christian background, but I've seen, you know, pretty much the first like four seasons and I kind of like it. You know, I'm not worried about the beer. I just like the camaraderie of the guys getting together. And then, yes, yeah. I remember seeing Harry Anderson come in and do some of the tricks and, you know, yeah, he is pretty cool. I would love to get him on the show, but it is not as easy as you think getting celebrities on the show. I mean, like I said, I've had a few, but it can be hard.
If you get him on the show, you let me know because he's passed a couple of years ago, so that'll be a miracle.
Oh, see, I didn't know he passed. Oh, my goodness. Forgive me, Lord. And he was a great man. Yeah, if I did, dude, that would be totally awesome. My goodness, I didn't even know. I'm not current with the celebrities that are dying, but that's crazy.
It's a lot. Yeah, it was a couple of years, like maybe 5 years back. I think he got lung cancer. I don't know the whole story, but
that's sad. Yeah, that's one thing about death. You know, it's my mom just passed away. Well, not just 4 years ago, and you know, death is it's sad, but it's one of the things that we are going to have to go through. And so may he rest in peace.
The only thing we're guaranteed, right?
I know death and taxes definitely. Now, do you have any other magicians that kind of stick out as your favorite, living or dead?
Lance Burton. Lance Burton was an old magician. He lived in Vegas. Well, not old magician, but old school magician that lived in Vegas. He's retired now. He's one of my favorites. You know, David Copperfield. You can't go wrong with David Copperfield. No. Copperfield's the GOAT, you know, in the magic business.
Greatest of all time. Now, it's funny you said Lance Burton because back in the day, I used to collect autographs, and I've went to conventions here in Florida ever since I was 16 up until about 2008, and then I went to one 2 years ago, and I've met tons of celebrities, and then I used to write celebrities through the mail because there is a website called StarTiger.com. It's based in Germany, and they have... It's the largest database of celebrity addresses. I don't care if it's a basketball star, a swim star, a soccer star. There is tons of addresses. So I wrote Lance Burton one time, you know, asking for an autograph. And depending on the celebrity, sometimes you get actual real autographs. Now, you don't know if the celebrity signed it or if their agent, or you get what they call, I think it's called preprints, which it's a stamp, and they have a bazillion of them. So Lance Burton sent me like a stamped signature, and then every year for like the past, 5 or 6 years, I was still getting every Christmas like a Christmas card with Lance Burton on it, and I'm like, that is just pretty cool. Now I haven't
He's
gotten
such
one.
A genuine guy too.
Yeah,
I've met him maybe about 2 years before COVID hit.
Oh yeah,
he did a convention, and I went there with my daughter, and he was like trying to make my daughter laugh and. She was only 2 years old. He was just a genuine guy. You could just tell, like, when you talk to him, he was just passionately, like, he just wanted to listen to you, and he was happy for you. You know, you don't get that in a lot of people these days.
Oh, wow. So do they actually have conventions just for magicians?
They do. That's kind of like the big, like, you know, there's Society of American Magicians. They do a big convention every year. There's IBM, International Brotherhood of Magicians. They do a convention. And then you got like conventions that like the one I went to was Daytona. It was in Daytona. It was the Daytona Magic Convention. There, it's a magic shop in Daytona, and they held the convention. And you know, he.
So we had some technical difficulties. My computer decided to take a dump and update during the podcast. So I believe we were talking about Lance Burton. And you were saying like how nice he was to you and your daughter and stuff like that. So if you want to continue with that.
He was just a genuine person, very nice, kind guy. I mean, he was you meet people in your life and somebody somewhere always has something either really good to say, and then that one person has something bad to say.
Yeah.
With Lance Burton, everyone I've ever met only had good things to say about him.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is good. I know somebody like that, and nothing, I've never heard anything bad about this person. It's always been good, and that's a good thing. You know, it's that shows your character and the type of person you are. That is pretty cool. So now, when you perform, like, do you just perform in, say, the Lutz area or the Tampa Bay area? Let's, you know, make it a little bit wider than that.
As at this moment, as of currently in my career, yes. I was from New York City originally, and I performed magic there for a living since I was 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
About 12 years old. And I did it professionally about 14. So for 14 all the way to about 21, I was doing magic for a living in New York City. Never worked a day in a regular job in my life.
That's good.
When I moved out to Florida, I stopped doing magic for a few years, and then I got back into it real heavy. And now I'm kind of back into it, but now I'm trying to market myself to a specific category of magicians. Performer entertainers, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so right now I don't perform like we magicians fly and get on a plane and go somewhere to perform. I don't do that. My magic, I have the big props, a lot of big props. So it's kind of hard for me to do that anyway.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's right now I'm stuck to a local area, but I'm willing to drive and willing to fly. So if you know anybody, you let me know.
Yes. Hey, pay the man to fly and put him up and he'll come do a show. That's pretty cool. Now, do you actually go like in, say, nightclubs or the, I don't even know if they do these at the comic club, comedy clubs.
Like, open mic nights.
Yeah. Do you do that too?
Open mics and stuff like that. I used to, but it was targeting for a group of audience I didn't want to target. Okay. So it was because it was more close up and parlor style stuff. I'm trying to get into the fair business to perform at fairs like the Florida State Fair and different states where they have the big, big fairs on the stage. And I'm trying to do my full on illusion show there. So that's kind of where I'm targeting for. So me doing all the other stuff, I noticed it was great and it was getting me known or a following.
Yeah,
but it wasn't really booking what I wanted to book. So now I'm trying to kind of focus on that one stuff area.
So like how many shows do you perform a month? Roughly
at my best before COVID, at my best, I had 20 shows booked.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was before COVID hit. And then when COVID hit, I lost everything. Got a regular job.
That's crazy.
And now I'm averaging about 5 shows a month.
That's still not bad. I mean, I'm sure it'll pick up, you know, it just takes time, you know, cause a lot of people are still scared, with the COVID. I know Florida, the mandates are relaxed, pretty much. I mean, I've been going out since COVID. So to me, it didn't bother me. But you
Same
know, you still
here.
Got,
I've just been protected.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be smart. I mean, I don't, even though I look at it this way, we're going to die of something, but being said, I don't want nobody to die, but you just got to be smart. If you're going to go out and there's a big crowd, definitely wear your mask, you know, or stay away.
Yeah.
I just don't like to be, you know, I used to go to, like I said, to the comic book conventions and stuff. And man, sometimes they had 40 and 50,000 people. If I was to go to something like that today, I probably would wear a mask just to be safe because, you know, I don't want to be an idiot and end up.
You don't want to get sick. Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
We, when COVID hit us, we didn't do much. We kind of, cause I have a little girl, little 3-year-old, and, we had a scare with her. She was real sick in the hospital for like a week. They thought it was cancer.
Oh man.
So but thank God it wasn't.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So me and my wife, we try to stay protected and just like, if we go out, we just make sure we're not with a lot of people and we're not in the areas where a lot of people are and kind of keep our distance. Cause you can't. You know, we went to the park and we were there swiping down the park seats.
Yeah. I know when COVID first hit, me and my wife, we were going to go see a movie in Lakeland. And, man, we had our mask on and I had a little baggie of wet wipes. So I go, don't sit down yet. I literally wiped both seats, the little tray and everything. And then we had sanitizer. I was like sanitizing my hands and
never be too safe.
I know, right? So, but since then, I've only went to the movies once, and that was to see a movie called Church People, which I interviewed the director and the main celebrity.
I've seen your post, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a pretty good movie. So that's really the only time that I've been back since COVID, because we had a subscription at Cinemark where you get one free movie a month and like 20% off of popcorn and concessions. I'm just not ready to go full throttle just yet. You know, maybe by the end of the year. Now, when you do your shows, you said you have a lot of big stuff. Do you actually have an assistant? Does your wife help you out?
Yeah. Pretty much my wife, and if my wife isn't busy or can't help me for whatever reason, I grab my sister.
Oh, cool.
Pay her and grab her. Say, get in the box and we'll cut you in half, and it makes it better for this show. No, but
we'll give you hazard pay.
Yeah. But usually, yeah, it's my girl. She helps me out, and
that's cool.
We've been together for about 5-6 years already.
Oh, cool.
And she's never been in like this type of business, you know, so it's still new to her. When we were about to land like a good gig and before COVID hit.
Yeah.
So we weren't able to really like test the whole practice thing, because yeah, there's only so much. Like, magic is a weird art. Like, I can practice all day at home and make my magic look amazing.
Yeah.
But when you go in front of that audience, it's a whole different ball game. You know, it's like the audience may hate the trick, because you never know. Like, I could do a trick here and you'll love it.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool. But when you go in front of people, they'd be like, what? That was horrible. You know, like, I don't want to see that. That was worse. That was the worst trick in ever. You just did some sleight of hand trick. Like, people, you know, everyone's different.
So basically when you get on stage, you're like this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm scared.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. You just don't know how the audience is going to react. So I try to find those tricks that like works for everybody, because kids might love it. The adults might hate it. The adults like it, but the kids hate it. So to make magic work for all ages, that's the true art of magic, you know, making it believe that it's really happening. It's truly magical and everyone could appreciate it. That's where it comes down to at the end of the day.
Cool. We're going to go ahead and take another commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio.
You're listening to Turfs Up Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Now you can even ask Alexa to tune you in when you're home.
Well, that was a short commercial. Welcome back to the Jose Show. You're listening. Excuse me. Welcome. My name is, I can't even talk straight today. You're listening to the Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio. Welcome back. Today, we're talking to Henry Rivera, who is a magician. All right. That's a lot of stuff to say all at one time. But you know what? That's what makes these podcasts fun, because they're all unique. They're not rehearsed. So when I flub up, it is really a flub, you know. And so now, I was going to ask you this question. I know a magician never tells their secrets. Now, I remember years ago, and I can't remember the magician, but he was actually on TV, and he was revealing all the secrets, and apparently these, you know, the head magicians were like having a tizzy fit and like, dude, you can't do this.
Yeah, that
do you
was
remember
the
who that
magician.
Guy was?
The masked magician.
Okay. So,
NBC, masked magician.
I remember that was like a... So is that guy, is he still around?
He is. He is still around. And from my understanding, there was two of them. There was one that revealed himself and revealed his face and everything like that. He stepped away and then somebody else came in and they tried to like play it off that he never changed his identity. Nobody knows who the second person is.
Wow.
But yeah, the masked magician still exists. He's still around. I forget his name, his real name. But yeah, he was actually pretty known in Vegas too. He was on like, I got to get his name. I really forget. But if you were able to search his name, you can actually find videos of him performing like on The World's Greatest Magic and like these old TV shows that were like produced for magicians.
Oh, wow.
So
I'm glad you remembered.
Yeah. Yeah. But does a magician reveal his trick? Yeah, we do. I mean,
you do? Okay.
Yeah, we reveal it to other magicians.
Oh, to other magicians, yes.
Yeah, yes. So we try not to reveal it to the layman, the regular audience. Because once you know how the trick is done, it's no longer impressive, you know. But for other magicians, we share ideas. And if we didn't share tricks with each other, then nobody will ever become a magician and nobody will learn new tricks. So we have to share magic and we teach a secret to our closed community.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
But yeah, if you ever, if somebody's listening and they want to learn magic, I think YouTube, I mean, there's a lot of controversial on like YouTube magic and if magicians should be teaching magic on YouTube because it's such a public access, like anyone can access the information there. But I grew up poor. I didn't have no money to learn magic. So I had to read books and kind of self-teach myself all these tricks and save up every dollar to buy a new book and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Nowadays you just go on YouTube. There's thousands of great magicians. There's, you know, if somebody's listening, I'll give two names. There's Chris Ramsey. He's a great, successful magician on YouTube. And there's Daniel Madison. I recommend anybody to check them out and listen because I think magic's a dying art. I think it's getting a lost art. It's not many people are doing it anymore. So the more people we get to do it, it's best for magic, you know?
I agree, because I haven't seen that much advertisement for any type of magician. So, it's definitely a dying art.
We there's a lot of magic shows. Like, you have Carbonaro, you know, that does the magic, the Carbonaro effect on TV. He's a magician, and he tries to make magic look like it's natural and it's just happening.
What about Chris Angel, Mind Freak?
Chris Angel, Mind Freak, I think he doesn't do it in his shows anymore, but that was a great... I think that brought magic to a whole nother level. You know, he mixed the street magic and the stage magic together. There's a lot of magicians that don't like Chris Angel, but I've never had anything bad to say about him. I met the guy and he was a great guy to me.
Man, you met a lot of people.
Yeah, I try to meet them. You know, Chris Angel was like, at the time when I was starting magic, it was only David Blaine and Chris Angel at the time.
I remember David Blaine.
Yeah, so those two magicians, and I met David Blaine many times in New York City. Every time he did a public stunt, I went to go see his show, you know, a little 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid running and saying, "Mom, can I go to Times Square? David Blaine's doing a stunt." And she was like, "Well, go with your cousin." You know, like, good. I had to bring with somebody. So, yeah, but I went to almost all of David Blaine's stuff, and Chris Angel, when Chris Angel was in town, I tried to go see his shows.
That's cool.
Those are the two magicians that I grew up watching because they were the only ones on TV at the time. Copperfield was just finishing up his TV. You know, he didn't do anything since like 2000 and I don't know, 4 or 2000.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Like, yeah, so he hasn't done any TV specials. Other than that, it's just been the World's Greatest Magic Series, the Magic Awards, and then whoever else did a magic special. So I watched him as much as I can. But yeah, magic does not... It's just weird. There's Instagram magicians and there's Facebook magicians. And then there's these new videos where magicians make funny videos. Like, have you been on Facebook and you're watching those weird videos that's so acted and you could tell that they're very acted just to get attention and views?
I've seen those. Yes.
Yeah. So there's magicians that have gone into that path and they just doing whatever for the views because the views pay their bills. I'm not a big fan of that, but
yeah,
I get it. If that's, you know, that's where the money's coming from. I get it. You got to pay your bills somehow, you know?
That's it. Now, let me ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this, and you can just say, you know, no comment. Living in the Tampa, Florida area, just like I am, and people that don't know, even though we don't live in Tampa, they consider, like, our area, Lutz, Tampa, Lakeland, and all that,
it's all
the Tampa Bay area, same thing. So what do you normally charge to come to a venue, and how long is it, 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah, it depends. So like my price range is, I'm very reasonable. You know, I grew up poor. So I understand when you can't afford something and you want them there. So I get it. So I'm very reasonable. If somebody calls me and they're like, "Hey, I want a birthday party," and I give them the price. So for a magic show for a kid's birthday party, you know, nothing crazy, just simple stuff, you know, entertain the kids, make them happy and laugh. I try to get around $300 for the hour that I'm there.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable and fair. And, you know, some people try to haggle you down and I try to drop like $250, but I try not to do anything less than $250 just because it's not worth my time. You know, I mean, my magic props, a lot of them are reusable, but they do take wear and tear on the props. And eventually I got to replace them.
Yes.
And a lot of magic props are specially built for magicians, and it's not like where you can mass produce them like, you know, Sony can for the PlayStation, you know?
Yeah,
we
have definitely.
They only can mass produce them in such a limited quantity because we're magicians aren't the wealthiest in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. So I come up with a trick, you know, I make 1,000 of them because it cost me 20,000 to make or 10,000 to make. I try to sell what I can to make a little bit of profit. So those tricks, they take after a while, you know, plastic breaks down. So I got to replace my props, repair my props. So I try to keep it reasonable that goes there. But my fares, like I do, like I have illusions that cost me almost $6,000 for one prop.
$6,000?
Yeah. So.
Ooh, okay. I can see why you would have to charge.
And definitely. Those shows that bring me the bigger props, then of course I'm going to charge you more. And, you know, usually about $1,500, $2,000 per day for me to perform. But those are the harder gigs to get into because there's a lot of magicians that obviously want the bigger money.
Yes.
But it takes a lot of money to put up front to get into those bigger money. So that's where a lot of magicians can't really do that.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Now we know. That's pretty cool. So we're going to go ahead and take another commercial. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turf's Up Radio.
From the East Coast to the West Coast and around the world, no one rocks like Turf's Up Radio. Turf's Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turf's Up Radio. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr., and we're talking tonight with magician, I keep saying today, but it's tonight, Henry Rivera of Lutes, Florida. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. If you have any final thoughts, comments that you would like to say, and then go ahead and promote your social media.
My social media on Instagram is kind of where I've been recently making like a full-on album of my magic career. So that's Henry of Magic. You can find me on Facebook at Henry of Magic. Everything's usually Henry of Magic. I try to keep it the same. We had the website Henry of Magic, but we lost it with COVID. And then when something happened with the server I was with, and then when we tried to get it back, it was already gone. Somebody purchased it. So those URL pirate thieves.
Well, speaking of the pirate thieves, let me tell you this is, I used to have a website and I'm not going to name the website that I had because I don't want nobody to look it up. Well, I used to put my autographs on there and, mm-hmm. I just got to the point I got tired of it. I didn't feel like paying for it anymore. And, I let it go. And my website, it's the name of it has nothing to do with what you would find now. So when I went back and looked for it, because I was going to get it back, somebody turned it into a porn site. And I'm like, oh. I had nothing to do with porn on there. And I'm like, I don't understand. And I go, well, I just lost that one, you know. So, yeah, these pirates take it.
Yeah, my email is Henry of Magic. So like I try to keep everything, and that was a name because I tried to do Magic of Henry in school, and for some reason obviously that was already taken, Magic of Henry. So I just reversed it and put Henry of Magic, and that's been my name ever since. So my like everything I do, I try to keep it within that name. And then when I went to the website, I had it. They were like, yeah, it's free, boom, bought it, paid for it. And then something happened with the server that I was using. I was using some random guy. I forget what it was. It was just very inexpensive. And I think he either went out of business or he cracked his business. Uh-huh. And then when I went to go like redo it, it was already sold. And they were on it. Like somebody wanted like $1,000. They were like, you could buy it now for $1,000. And I'm like, I'm not paying $1,000 for a website name.
Yeah,
like,
forget that.
Yeah, I was like, you guys could keep it. What are you going to do with my name, you know?
Now, do you have any final thoughts for anybody that would like to get into the magician business?
Yeah, do it. Do it. It's very hard. It's it takes a lot of practice, but do it. Learn it and try to make it. The whole idea of magic is not to learn the tricks. Anyone can learn a trick. That's easy. You could go into a magic shop, buy a bunch of tricks and come out and say, you're a magician. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make you a magician. What makes you a magician is making the magic believe. You gotta make it emotional, connect with somebody and make it entertaining that they laugh, they remember something about it, build an emotion off your magic and don't give up. There's a lot of magicians out there and the magic world, like every other, I'm sure every other industry is the same where people bash you like, oh, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing it, you can never be doing it wrong. you know, makes sense. So as long as you're pushing forward, you can never be doing it wrong. If you're doing it and you're horrible at it and you just keep practicing until you make it right, then ain't nothing wrong with that. And you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. I don't care. I'll tell everyone this. When your first show, I used to do a bird act, and I had birds, and I produced these birds everywhere. My first show, I had a bird like up my sleeve, and I was trying to make it sneaky. And the bird was just like flapping his wings out the sleeve during a show. And he just flew out. And I was just like, ta-da. You know, so like if you you're going to mess up, that's it. You're going to mess up. Your first show is going to horribly suck to the bottom. You're going to be like, man, that was the worst thing I've ever done. But don't let it drop you down. Just keep moving forward. You'll be all right.
Makes sense. And if you want to get a hold of the Jose Show, if you do a search on Facebook, I have a group and a page. Just look up the Jose Show. And on Twitter, it's at Jose Roldan Jr. That's at Joseroldan Jr. And on Instagram, it's the Jose Roldan. That's Thejoseroldan. Tonight, we were talking with Henry Rivera, who is a magician from Lutz, Florida. Make sure you look him up, hire him to do your magic show for your kids or for the adults or for whoever. And, you know, he's got small shows, he's got big shows. Do the big shows. Big shows are good. Small shows are good, but big shows are better. Make sure you share this episode with your friends, families, and enemies. Just don't make them disappear. And, Henry, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And that's the end of this show.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.